Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan.
Hey, it's Odie Strahan, and I'm having one of the most amazing days of my life. Hopefully you are too. Let's get this show started. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan. Guys, we are all in for a treat. Really excited about today's guest. Today's guest is a co-owner of Pearson's Premium, one of the top gourmet barbecue sauces out. He's also a former defensive back at Sac State, but he's here today to discuss strictly business. We're going to talk about how the Pearson's Premium started, how it was once the Cal football team sauce, the level of success it had the first go around, and the decision that they made to relaunch it 4 years ago and where it's at today. So we have definitely a lot to get into. David Pearson, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Really excited to have you on. Like I said in the intro, man, we have a lot to get into. So, I don't want to waste any time. But what I want to do first and foremost, before we get started, I do want to congratulate you on the success that you guys have had. I always like to give flowers, where it's due. And, all the success you guys have had and the buzz that you guys have created, just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Hey, much appreciated, man. It's been a short, happy and time period of ups and downs, but we've been keeping it going, man. We're in this for the long haul, so thanks for the appreciation.
No doubt. Well, let's kick it off for the folks. I know that they're not familiar with Pearson's Premium. Let's get into the quote unquote the Pearson's Premium story. How did it all get started originally? We're not talking about obviously you guys starting it what 4 years ago, but the original Pearson's Premium. How long ago was that, and how did that all get started?
Right. So Pearson Premium was started by my father, Harold Pearson Sr., just strictly in his backyard. What had happened was he's actually from the St. Louis area. So growing up out here, my dad is actually a veteran from Mather Air Force Base, and my mom is also a veteran from McClellan. So my mom is from Chicago area, and my dad's from the St. Louis area. So they're both from the Midwest. So my dad raising us coming up, he would barbecue, he would grill all the time, but he's shopping for barbecue sauces at the supermarkets, could never find nothing that, matched that Midwest flavor, that good, just that good award-winning barbecue that he grew up on. So a little bit later, he just started making his own sauce, but it's a time consuming process, but he still was willing to do it because he couldn't find nothing, to match his meats or to match that good flavor that he's known since he was a little one. So he ended up making it, and we would have barbecues and people would come through. We have friends and family come through, taste the barbecue, and they would tell him, man, you need to, this sauce is so good. You need to bring this to the market. You need to bring this to the people. Well, that's what he did. So a little bit later, probably in the early 90s, he actually brought it to the market. Now, what that means is he was in actually over 30 retail markets and specialty markets throughout the Northern California area. Big supermarkets such as Bel Air, Raley's, David Berkeley's was a big specialty store we were in back in the day. Frank Sinatra's, people know about these stores that it used to shop at them. I don't think they're around no more. David Berkeley's used to be in Pavilions over there in Fair Oaks. And so, he actually brought it to market. It was, it was going good. And, he had to run into, he really had to run into issues when you start dealing with those big supermarkets and everything. You got to deal with shelf space, it's politics. You got to go against big brands. That means you have to have more money to get on, people's eye level on the shelves and crazy stuff, inventory and cash flow. So cash flow issues became a problem, and he basically had to shelve it. And so he tabled it probably in the early 2000s, tabled it for a little bit. And then, fast forward to the pandemic.
And that's when you guys, let me stop ahead. You there.
Go ahead.
There's a couple stuff I want to hit because you kind of definitely gave us the big backstory and the high overview. But let's actually back up a little bit. So how did the formulation of the sauce, all come about? So I know you said he was looking for something, that flavor that he was familiar with. So did he just create all this organically on his own?
Basically, yeah, he did it on his own. There was no how-to guides. You know, you could type anything in right now. You got AI to help you with certain things. Yeah. He had none of that. And so all of it was from his actual mind and his taste that he, you know, his flavor palette that he's known and knowing about ingredients and what to put in, you know, certain things in a sauce to make it taste good, you know, to not be too hot, not to be too, you know, mild, not to be too watery, these things. And so he came up with it all on his own.
It is crazy. That's actually amazing. Let me ask you this. How long do you think it took for your dad to perfect it? Because I'm pretty sure that he had some, you know, some rough drafts along the way, right? I mean, when it comes to the actual final product that actually hit the markets, that final product itself, how long do you think it took him to formulate that one, that version? Okay.
Maybe a year or so. It seemed so fast when he did it. You know, he had came up, he was already barbecuing, then he started making sauce, right? And then, you know, and we're younger, so we're just eating it. We're not even noticing the difference in, you know, the first batch plus, you know, he's perfecting batches. We don't even know. It all tastes good to us. So it didn't take him relatively long to come out with the sauce and get to a co-packer to actually bottle it up. And he did all this. So all this was on his own, too. I mean, so we talk about the recipe, which is outstanding. Gourmet ingredients everywhere. He was also involved in the color scheme and the choosing the brand actually that we have, you know, kind of elevated to today. We'll get into that. But all his color schemes and everything, it was actually before his time. I mean, he was doing an awesome job. I don't know how he did it without a computer and stuff like that. These things are, he was just real, he's just real meticulous about a look as well as the flavor. So, you know, that's how he runs his business. And so he did it all on his own. I don't know how he did it. It was crazy. So, that's how pretty much it happened. So it didn't take him that long to get to a co-packer at all. Probably a year.
And then when it came to, you know, it being known as the quote unquote, the, you know, the Cal football team, the team sauce. Talk to me about that. I know you guys had shared a clip that I saw on social media. I believe it was on the gram when it was. I want to say, I don't know who the game was against. I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about, where they mentioned it, right?
Yeah, that was against the
Illinois. How did that all come about?
Illinois.
Okay, there you go. So you know exactly what I was talking about.
No doubt.
But talk to me about that. When you say that the Pearson's Premium was the Cal football team sauce, what did that exactly entail? What did that mean?
That entailed my father, actually, because my brother played football for Cal. So when he transferred up to Cal, the sauce was already – you know, we're already in stores. We're already, getting profits and getting a good feedback from the people. So my dad is pushing it everywhere. So when it goes to the Bay Area, because through my brother playing football, he saw this opportunity to bring it to the food decision makers over there and the people that run the training table. That's what they used to call it when they feed the football team, different meals throughout the week to make sure they're healthy and everything. He presented Pearson Premium, and they ran with it. So it became actually, they were using it throughout my brother's 2 or 3 years that he was at Cal as the team sauce. And so they would use it on, he would just set the bottles out, and they could put it on anything they want. So, you know, they have different, you might have a pork chop dinner, plus you have a burger dinner that they can choose from, and they just set the sauce there. You could pour it on all of it. Hence the name Sauce for All Seasons, because it can go on anything.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Let me ask you this: at its peak, when it first came out, how many outlets, how many grocery stores, retailers do you think the sauce was in?
Yeah, it was over 30. So
over 30, over 30.
Yeah. And I named a couple of them in the.
Yeah, yeah. You named a few
stories. Yeah, they were. We had the pleasure. We had the pleasure of meeting Joyce Raley. So she's I remember she passed away a couple years ago, but she was a fan of the sauce. And so, things like that. And, you know, it's historical in that front. Also, it was in Safeway down the street from my high school. I went to high school in Fair Oaks. And so I would have, me and my brother went to high school out there. I have our friends telling us, hey, man, I see your sauce in the store over there, the Safeway. And it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's going. That was getting real. So yeah,
that's and tough, that's why, man.
Yeah, kind of, and this was part of the reason it spurred us to bring it back. So we had been hearing throughout the years after my dad shelved it, you know, running into people, fans of it, home, you know, friends and family that was talking to us. Hey, when's the sauce coming out? We got any bottles on you? Got nobody got no more sauce. Sauce been done. So it's always funny. I was like, man, they want the sauce still. So yeah, that's fun.
Well, let's get into that. Let's pivot and let's get into the decision to, you know, bring it back, relaunching it during COVID, but about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Who thought of bringing it back originally? You know, and how did that come about? Like, you know, how did that conversation start? How did that thought come about? Was it like you just alluded to when it comes to people locally bringing it up? You know, I know between yourself, your sister, your mom, and as well as your, you know, your brother Harold that we mentioned, you guys, you know, all, you know, powerhouse team. But who spearheaded the movement?
Yeah, it was, well, I get a call. Now I'm doing it. I'm actually about to launch into another business. This is right before COVID. This is right at the beginning phase of it. I'm about to launch into another whole business, and you know, we delve in different industries, and I was in a real estate game, and I'm about to go into business, and I get a phone call from my brother and my sister on three-way. They put me on three-way, had no idea, but they was talking about it's right now. We need to do this. We need to bring back the sauce, and I'm like, for real. So I saw it as opportunity. You know, we were going through COVID at the time. You know, a lot of families were coming back together. You remember the time, you know, everybody's at home now. And it's a lot more, you know, reflection on what could happen. And, you know, so I saw the opportunity to work with my brother and my sister and build something for the legacy. So they called me up and really wanted me to tackle and get the recipe down, because we had kind of antique recipe that we had at a former co-packer that's no longer around that was bottling the sauce when my dad had it. And so our reference points were off, and that's a little technical jargon, but we had to reformulate the sauce a little bit. And so they called me up, and that's what happened. So it was a go from there. So during that COVID year, I believe it was 2020 when that happened. And we've been going ever since. We started, and I know a lot of companies that started through the COVID years, and to still be going, because I know a lot of them have shut down, to still be going, you know, it feels good when you're doing it with your family. So that's how it started.
And nothing like doing business with people you actually like, right? I mean, people
sometimes that, you know, we're still siblings, you know, we're still siblings, you know how that goes, man.
No, but you know, but yeah, more. Yeah, yeah. More importantly, you guys got kids, and you talk about that family legacy. It's always it's always nice seeing you guys, seeing the pictures, seeing the videos of the kids being involved. We'll get into the festivals that you guys were just in recently, but you know, saw the kids out there. It's a beautiful thing, that's for sure. Talk to me about getting your dad's blessing on it. You know, when it comes to, you know, it bringing it back, what was his his take on it?
Oh, well, just take, well, he's always had it. It was always there for us when we wanted to do it. You know, we've been doing different things in that gap. It's like a 20-year gap from when my dad shelved it to when we brought it back during the COVID years. And he had always had it. You know, if we wanted, any one of us could have wanted to run with that business, and he would have gave the okay. Now, that does go in, without saying, you better have your stuff right when you bring it back out. So this is the thing, we had to do everything, and he's still here. So my dad's still here. I know some people ask, your dad passed? No, he's still here. He's there. He's definitely an advisor for us. So we would go back and, you know, let him taste the sauce. And my dad's real, he's about his pushing that product and making sure it's right. So we would tell him that, we would take him the sauce down, and he gave us the okay. Then it comes into, we have to rebrand the labeling and our brand image, Pearson's Premium. So we wanted to inflect the color scheme that he had and really bring it back into 2020 at the time. And I thought we did that. And, you know, we would show him. And you know he's happy because he's showing it off to his friends and stuff like that. So that's how you know you get the approval. Because he had no problem letting you know you off. Or, you know, this is off. But at the end of the day, he lets us just run with it. He's not really involved like that. He's there when we need him. So, you know, whenever we need to call him, but he's not harping on what we need to be doing next and what avenues. And part of the reason, too, is we're in a whole different area of business than we were when he was doing the sauce. So he was strictly in the supermarkets. Now it's turned into online sales, and we'll get into a little bit of that. But so we have to build and get consultation from some other ways. And as far as getting this online domination going.
Quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. I would like to take a moment to introduce Angie Verduzco with eXp Realty, your go-to realtor for unparalleled expertise. With a track record of guiding investors to lucrative properties and making dream homes a reality for house hunters, Angie brings a wealth of experience to the table. Fluent in both English and Spanish, she ensures seamless communication. Explore the Yuba, Sutter, and Sacramento markets with confidence. Follow Angie on Instagram at Angie Verduzco Realtor. Again, that's Angie Verduzco Realtor for a glimpse into your future home journey.
Gotcha, man. I know you mentioned reformulating the actual product, you know, the sauce itself. Right. Then you have the rebranding. Because even though the company's been around, like you said, it had been out for so long, it's literally starting a brand new company, right? It's essentially starting a brand new company. Talk to me about that process in itself. You know, what kind of challenges, what kind of obstacles do you guys have when it comes to, you know, rebranding? You know, like you didn't want to change too much, but you want to obviously have it updated. Yeah. You know, any challenges specifically any obstacles you had to overcome during that process?
I think it was just, you know, just real making sure we was, you know, our attention to detail was on point. How we can produce things and produce them as a mass quantity is, it needs to be on point. So that goes to the co-packer we choose. We had to find the right co-packer, and we interviewed people, you know, throughout California. I went all the way as far as Denver to interview a co-packer. We almost produced out of Colorado to, you know, make sure the co-packer's right, because that's an ongoing relationship that needs to be cultivated and done the right way. You got to make sure you're working with some right people. So I'm interviewing them. And we got a nice co-packer out of Auburn, Mad Wheels Food Company. They do a great job with us. And things like that. So those were challenges. You know, I had to drive to Monterey just to get a guy that basically I had to corner him just to get it in. You know, I'm looking for a co-packer, man. You playing with me? And so I had to corner him, but we didn't end up going his way. But I showed up at his business. That's how, you know, vital it was to me to fight the right people and the right business partner in that aspect. And that's just an example of that. But I think one of the other things, we'll get into it, online, the whole online paradigm that has presented itself is somewhat new, because we, like, if I go to my dad for advisement, he doesn't have a lot per se on that, because he wasn't pushing online. There was no online in the 90s and 2000 like that. So what we're doing now is embarking on a whole new realm of how to really project this business forward.
Gotcha.
That's one of the obstacles.
No, makes sense. Yeah. From a marketing standpoint, what was your guys' approach? And was there like any specific niche market that you guys were trying to target?
Our marketing approach was, we started with our friends and family. So people that have been clamoring for the sauce. When we first put it out, of course, we taste tested it ourselves. We're sending it back and forth through the mail. And once we figured out a way and then we got the labeling right, we started packing it up, started making it out our kitchens ourselves, and started packing it up, putting the label on ourselves and actually mailing it out. Actually had it for sale, and we did some pre-sales, and we're just getting feedback from people, and and there's a lot of people our age, because it was our friends and family that we grew up, and of course they're in their 40s, you know, late 30s and all that, if you know, some in their 50s, and that's why we started getting that out there and getting the word out. And it became a, and what online capability is, with using online practices to get at these people, we actually see age demographics, you know, gender, and we can actually break down, you know, real vital statistics and really understand where our market is and where our war market is. So, yeah.
Completely different than, but then obviously the original, like you said, that's probably definitely out your dad's realm. So,
right.
A completely different approach, you know, with the relaunch. Let's actually get into the sauce itself.
Okay.
How would someone like you, how would you describe the, you know, the taste of it? I know it's kind of hard to describe, you know, when it comes to that, but when it comes to like your, I'm sure this isn't the first time you've been asked that. So what would be the best way you could describe it?
Well, it's an experience. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of customers that talk about the experience of it, and it's going to hit you in probably 3 to 4 different ways. So first you taste the sweet with the smoky, then it has a little zest, then it gives you that kick at the end. And, you know, it's layered, it's a layered flavor. We call it a layered flavor. And you basically eat it without a spoon and just, I've had somebody drink it out of a bottle before.
That's wild. That's wild, brother. That's wild.
So the flavor, yes, it's a sweet savory. That's what we call it, sweet savory. I'm going to give you all kind of robust flavor. I got it all for you. But I understand, it's a flavor you never experienced before. Guarantee that. So once you first taste it, you're going to be like, oh my God, this is hidden and hidden a little bit different. And it doesn't have all those ingredients that you have, you know, you can't even pronounce in this sauce. So all our ingredients you can find in your cupboard or your refrigerator. It's all organic, farm to, you know, we source locally out of Northern California too. So we are definition of farm to fork. But yeah, you get that flavor rush with Pearson Premium.
What do you feel makes the biggest difference between what you guys have and what's out in the marketplace right now? You know, because we're talking about a gourmet sauce, right? It's saying the yeah. average, you know, couple of dollars, whatever, maybe that you're going to spend down the aisle. So what's the biggest difference?
Well, one of the biggest differences is we don't have all these, you know, harmful chemicals that, you know, are harmful to your body when you eat them. You know, there's stuff that is additives that they put in other sauces to, you know, for shelf life purposes and things like that. Color, all this, you know, just weird stuff that you put in your body over time, you know, can really take a toll. This is part of what is not in Pearson Premium. So we don't have, we're gluten free. Okay. I'll call us vegan considerate. We're not vegan like that. We'll call it vegan considerate. And you know, it's a little sweet, and we do have a sugar base in there, but compared to other sauces, we're not at the top range of amounts of sugar that we put in our sauce either. So that's another thing. And then another thing that does separate us is the amount of ways you can actually use our sauce too. So we call it the sauce for all seasons. Well, that's what makes it gourmet. You know, why people put it on, you know, you put on your ribs and chicken, you can put it on your vegetables too, seafood, all kind of stuff. So like I said, people have just been eating sauce by itself. Eat the sauce by itself. It's pretty crazy. How you eat sauce? I don't know. Get you a bottle. You'll find out.
that's a win-win. So not only are you going to get, you know, the best taste, but actually healthy for you compared to what's out there.
No doubt. You compare us with some of the leading brands, and I'll put one out there. You go compare us with Sweet Baby Ray's. All right. You can do a taste test with us. But you do a taste test or you do a label comparison, just look at, you know, our ingredients compared to theirs. That'll let you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So far, is there any areas that you're seeing more of your sales coming from? You know, I know at this point you guys have enough analytics, you know, to know where the sauce is being consumed at. Is there any specific part of the world that's dominating over others?
Oh yeah. Definitely Sacramento. That's where our number one customer base is from. Of course we have customers in Oakland, the Bay Area, even, you know, LA, and then, you know, sporadically throughout the rest of the US, but we've been promoting throughout California. We really want to be the sauce of California first. Of course, everybody else can get the sauce too, because we can ship straight to the doorstep. But yeah, being the sauce of California, that would be a great thing.
Sauce of California with your hometown, obviously you're in Sacramento. Yes. that makes sense though. So obviously you're building from your backyard and then out from there.
No doubt. Yeah. Start with our backyard first, and then we can build out. You know, we want to definitely utilize our relationships out here to really boost it out. And who knows where it's going to go.
Now, I know you mentioned earlier different ways that your sauce can be used. I mean, you actually pretty diverse, you know.
Yeah.
And I know, and we'll get into the festivals too that you guys been at. So when you guys do go to the festivals, what are some foods that you use so the people could sample? What do you use, and what do you find that people are using it most on? I mean, I'm not sure if you guys are getting feedback for people, but yeah. I mean, in fact, while you answer that question, give me like the oddest food that someone uses on.
Oh God, the oddest food. Ooh, oddest food I've heard. Well, actually, we've actually done this on a couple of ours. So I actually have a cousin that sent us a video back, and she poured the sauce on a piece of bread, right? And it that's all she needed. She didn't need no meat, she didn't need no cheese, nothing on it. Just straight sauce to bread. So we thought about that, and actually we employed that at some of our festivals because some of the time we couldn't get a power outlet, and we didn't want to use charcoal or whatever to cook meats or cook anything. So we just wanted people to taste the sauce. So we actually got cut up French bread. And people just come out and dip the bread in the sauce, and then you could taste the sauce. Now it's a little off kilter with the bread. So we've only done that a few times. There's other times we've done, that's one of the, weird ones if you think about, off brand. But no, there's nothing really off brand. That's, you can put it on anything. I just had somebody cook and they're not used to Pearson Premium being a steak sauce. It's a barbecue sauce, but how about your steak sauce kicking over A1? We don't like it. Hey, get out of here, A1. Using Pearson, he just made a tomahawk the other day. Tomahawk, cut it up, looks so good. Oh God, with the Pearson Premium. Try that one day. Try it with your steak. Never. you won't be displeased. Trust that. So yeah, that's some of the craziest stuff we did. But we do green vegetables, red peppers, green peppers and red peppers. We'll just grill that up for people that are, vegetarian or even vegan that might, want to have a taste of something without meat. But but most people use it on ribs. It's great with tri-tip. Oh my God. That's basically steak. It's great on links. Everything you need barbecue wise is great on. And then everything you don't want to do at home, you can do, your air fryer wings. You want to dip the sauce in there. So it's you can do it on with anything. Just don't. I got one crazy one. I had actually a customer told me he put it on his wife. But I'm not.
Hey, man. We keep it clean. You wild for that one. Hey,
that's a true story. A true story.
That's some straight talk. What can you say?
Straight talk.
man, you got threw me off. Threw me off with that one, man.
Got him.
you did get me with that one. Now I know you guys have a relationship with a lot of local businesses, cooks, right. Restaurants. Is there any specific, maybe restaurants or chains, or even, I guess, mom and pops that are utilizing the sauce right now?
Right. Well, right now we're in, we got some chefs that use it, some local chefs around here in the Bay Area. But as far as we're still waiting to attack some of these real food decision makers. And I mean that with restaurants. People like, for instance, Cal Training Table, again, we're in negotiations about getting there. So we're just getting our feet in the door. We just wanted to really, we've been really focused on building our online, just being dominant online, our online sales, everything about our online presence, just being real known as, top barbecue sauces in the nation. That's what our focus is. So everything else is going to come in order. So we're slowly working on that. But our focus right now is marketing online.
Let's talk about that. So you guys have decided to go heavy with online instead of, like I said, getting into the, the stores, this time around.
Right.
With that approach, do you feel, and obviously, it's kind of tough because, the times have changed, but when it comes to the, I guess the acceleration of the numbers or the business while you guys are figuring out, because obviously it's a new realm for you guys. Have you found the progress to be steady? Are you guys pleased with where you guys are at, are you guys ahead of where you guys were at before? You know prior.
It's a steady process. I would call it a steady process, because you need to learn some things about, it's not just about posting. It's the way you post, it's your interactions back, you want to be interactive with the customers, all kind of little things like that. There's just stuff you just don't know until you know. I mean, this needs to be actually taught in at universities and high schools right now. I mean, that's how crazy how to build an online business. Because it's a lot of stuff that are new to me and, that I'm becoming more comfortable with that this day is going on. But yeah, we've actually invested into consultations and people are working with us as we speak, as far as getting our online capabilities to where we need to be. So I would call it steady, though.
Have you guys used like SEOs, squeeze pages, landing pages? Have you guys took that approach as well?
Yeah. So that's some of the stuff we're learning. We're learning about the landing pages. Actually, we're looking on getting our email configuration better, efficient, stuff like that, making sure everything is just a lot smooth, ran smooth. Because if you build the online, you're building your people coming in and people are keep coming. As long as, you have a way of effectively communicating with them back and forth, it's done the right way. We got programs, we got ways to entice, customers to keep coming back. As long as that keep coming back, it's like an engine, we just turn on the car and it's just going to keep running. But we got to make sure underneath the hood is, built right. Can't have a faulty engine underneath the hood, because your car's not going to run, or it'll eventually break down. So we want this thing to keep running forever. So.
Quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. Hey, are ants invading your home? Are you seeing roaches outside? Did you bring more than just memories home from that hotel you stayed at during your last vacation? Those pesky little bed bugs attached to everything? Well, I would like to take this moment to introduce you to someone that can help, and that's Ultra Elite Pest Control, locally owned and operated with over 15 years of experience, servicing Sacramento, Elk Grove, Gulf, and surrounding areas with next day appointments readily available. Enjoy $50 off your first initial service. And check this out, 15% off regular services with a 1-year agreement when you mention Straight Talk with Strahan. That's right. Call or text Antonio Torres with Ultra Elite Pest Control at 916-905-3345. Again, that's 916-905-3345. And don't forget to mention Straight Talk with Strahan. Call today.
I know we talked heavy online. You talked about online getting a lot of, the sales from online, the majority mm-hmm. of it from online. That mm-hmm. being said, I noticed you guys popping up at a lot of different festivals lately. Yeah. Talk to me about the ones that you guys been able to be a part of and how you've done at those events.
Oh, yeah. I think we've done pretty good to excellent at all the events we've done. This year we did during the summer Oktoberfest. It's called Oktoberfest in Oakland. Big, huge event. That was our first time doing it. Also, we did the Brunch Festival, which is a Sac Brunch Fest. That actually was on the water downtown in Old Sac. That's where that was. And then also stuff like the Grilled Cheese Festival. A big one is, we did the Farm to Fork. That was 2 years ago. We missed last year. We'll be back in this year. We're going to do that one again. And that one was crazy. I mean, from the start to finish, we had a line, down the street. It was crazy. It was just going nuts there. But that's a good festival. You guys are in the Sacramento area. All of them are good festivals. All of them were sold. A lot of them were a lot of people. We did the Roseville Family Fun Fest this year out there in Roseville. That was a great event. It's pretty hard to go wrong as long as you're picking the right people. We haven't picked wrong yet, so I'm waiting for that one festival tonight. But it's hard to do. A lot of people love going. I didn't know there was actually festival, professional festival goers. So they actually go to different festivals. And I think this is You know, we make enough money. You just like, hey, I ain't going to the club no more. We going to the festival. We doing that on Sunday and we do it Saturday. And it's a lot of fun. You get to eat, get to eat and drink. Music out there. It's always a good time.
You know, I met a couple of friends throughout the last couple of years that they just literally, you know, it's funny because, you know, I talked a couple of days ago and I called them pop-ups, right? You know, so I call them pop-ups, but I know a couple of people, that's what they do full time. You know, they sell their product at these I call them pop-ups. You know, they'd be having it, you know, I don't know, second Saturdays or whatever, maybe downtown, different areas. And that's it. I mean, I honestly didn't think that was a big enough business model to sustain a full-time income. Right. That was to my surprise, you know? So that's what I asked you. I'm really intrigued. I mean, it's called Straight Talk. So these are questions that maybe I might be the only one that has it, but shoot, I'm sure someone else is thinking about this. So, I mean, is the money generated at a festival? Cause you know, they can look it up. They get into it, but you know, we'll put it out there. This is a gourmet sauce. This isn't the cheapest sauce. So you go into a festival, this is not, you know, $5, people don't, you know, so are people actually buying and you're able to, you know, generate good income out there? I mean, from these festivals?
Yeah. If you could do this thing every day, there's people out there. That's the thing. You run into all those people have different food businesses. It might not be in food. It might be a jewelry selling business or whatever, but they're out there, whatever money they're making. But as far as what we do and the numbers that we do, when we do go out, you can make a nice substantial income if you do it, but you got to be consistent. And, you know, it's, you run into the winter months now, right? So it's colder out. So these months, there's no festivals like that going on. You know, they're a dime a dozen when the summer hits and the springtime hits. There'll be a lot of them everywhere. So I've had people go from two festivals in a day. I'm like, you about to go here? Because they do wear you out. You know, those people wear you out. They come in and they be hungry or they're buying, you working. And so a lot of people have told me that that's all they do. And this is how they get the crux of their income.
Pretty and cool. If festivals are, this is something you guys plan on still incorporating in your guys' business model moving forward, correct?
Right. We want to get out there and meet the people. So that's another thing. We want to, it's not so much for the money. Yeah, the money's good and you can make money. The thing is, we want to be able to push our brand out there, get it, you know, get our sauce in more people's palates than anything. And then we get content, you know, to show on our websites and show people how we're out in the community and different things like that. That's what makes it good, too.
Absolutely, man. Now, I bring that up because I know we're only in February, right? We just started February, but spring, summer will be here soon enough. Something for the people here locally, especially Sacramento being your number one market, as you stated earlier, more and more ways for one, not only for people to support you, but to get the best sauce out. Right.
Yes, so
they come check you out. I like to, let's couple more questions, some, you know, pretty cliche, but you know, try to give me some specific answers before we get into some rapid fire Q&A that I always end my shows with. But, overall vision for Pearson's Premium, obviously you guys laid the groundwork, 20 plus years ago, reinventing, making it, better, every shape, form, or fashion. Let me ask you this. What's the short-term goal for you guys? When I say short-term, let's call it 12 to 18 months.
Okay. Short-term goal is to really be at a level where I think we've almost quadrupled our reach right now, how many followers all online we have right now, really just really building up our numbers to, I would say, 4 to 5 times what we have right now. That's in the 10 to 12 months. And that's just the short term. But yeah, and then continue doing what we've been doing and get better at it.
Long-term goal, 3 to 5 years, talk to me. How's that looking at Pearson's Premium?
We want to be one of the top selling barbecue sauces out. Basically, everybody knows. We've seen how fast Sweet Baby Ray's kind of jumped on the scene. And I think it wasn't the marketing. It was, just the flavor. You know, that's what I think. And then, you go to people's house, you're like, what barbecue sauce is that? Yeah, that tastes good. Let me find that. And then they were able to find it. So being able to be recognized and then where people and having an avenue where people can just go get it readily, that's where we want to be. But yeah, be one of the top sauces out there when you talk about Stubbs, when you talk about Sweet Baby Ray's, when you talk about all these other, you know, competitors. We want to be one of the tops.
That's awesome, man. I'm trying to tell you, I think it's just only a matter of time because, like you said, when people taste this, and I personally taste it, and you know, I'm always going to keep a straight talk with you. You know, I won't say I'm the biggest barbecue guy, but I can tear up some barbecue. You know that. But this right here, it's different. I'm joking, yeah. By the way. If you really know me, you know I'm a human garbage disposal. I eat everything. You already know that. So yeah. I like to eat. And no, this is. I know it's gonna sound like I'm biased because obviously you're on the show, but no, it's my favorite sauce. I've never tasted anything like it. I know the people I shared it with shared the same sentiment. My daughter, my baby girl, you know, Ari tried it, and I literally got her reaction, you know, on video. I told her, you know, let me know what you really think about it, you know. And you know, kids don't lie. She was loving it because obviously it tastes a lot different. You know, not different than what she was accustomed to when it comes to barbecue, right? Yes. So I think it's just a matter of time because people are going to see it tastes good, it's different. I've learned a lot of stuff in the process. I just thought it tastes good, brother. I'll be honest with you. The fact that you broke down the ingredients and how healthy it is, now I'm feeling even better. Now I could probably treat myself to even more.
Treat yourself, don't cheat yourself.
I think it's only a matter of time. So let's go ahead and end with some rapid fire Q&A that I end all my shows with. Just obviously some some random questions. So first thing that comes to your head. So what's your favorite food to use the sauce on personally?
Tri-tip.
You did mention that.
Tri-tip sandwiches all day. Yes, sir.
Hey, that bread story go crazy though, man. The bread story, right in the bread. That's crazy.
I got one more. Can I tell you one more? A girl just told me she put it on an apple. Apple. I had a girl tell me she ate it with apples. She cut up apples and put the sauce on there. But
man, that does not sound appealing. Yeah. That's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I will drop you up. All right, keep them coming.
That sounds crazy. While barbecuing, what's the go-to song or artist that you're listening to right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. While barbecuing, what's the go-to?
It could be a song, an artist. Everybody comes to the house. What's the first one you put on?
In the summertime, you got to play Will Smith's Summertime, Fresh Prince. Summertime. When you put that on, you know it's just feeling. You're feeling good. He did that song. I love that song.
I didn't expect that answer, man. That's crazy. Hey, so you're a former football player.
Yes.
Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to go. You can't. It's hard to go against that boy, my homeboy. What they call him, Mahomes? My homeboy. And them Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, good coaching. I mean, them Niners is coming. They want revenge. So, but I'm going to have to go with that quarterback, Kelce boy, that boy. Yay.
Okay.
I have to go with the Chiefs.
Gotcha. You know what? So far, I mean, you kind of spoke about it a little bit, but if you just want to just quick answer. Overall, what has been your biggest challenge or obstacle when it comes to the business?
Mine personally probably was just getting more comfortable putting myself out there. That would be, I think that personally, you know, just working with business, you know, the way it's different with social media, you know, you got to kind of put yourself out there. I'm more private like that. But, you know, it's a different business climate today. And I've had to get comfortable with that. So just that.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, the getting comfortable, being uncomfortable, right? That's just what it comes down to. I got you. What's your motto for 2024?
My motto for 2024?
Yeah.
Oh, man. My motto for 2024. Just don't quit. Don't give up. It's a lot of stuff that's been happening, going on. And be about your family. Don't quit. And don't quit on your family. Don't quit on yourself. Keep hoping. Keep going. That's what I have to. I've had days where you gotta look at it like that. Keep going. Get up. Everybody going through the same challenges. Let's go. Keep going.
That's good. One last one, man. Generic one I always close out with, but always like to get, you know, as specific answers possible, especially from someone like yourself that's obviously seen different type of businesses, different industries, you know, obviously is persevering, pushing, excelling, right? Yes. Because one thing about you is you're humble throughout this whole pod. Don't get it twisted, guys. This, I mean, David's had great success. He just, I mean, like I said, he's just more on the humble side. So someone that's like yourself that's thriving. But if you had one advice for aspiring entrepreneurs, what would it be? If it just came down to one advice that you had to give someone.
If I was looking, one advice, yeah. I would be like, know your strengths and your limitations. Just understand that everybody's limited. Nobody is perfect. But once you understand your strengths and work to your strengths, and then find some people to work with you in the stuff that you're limited at. You know, find help. It's got to be capable help and viable help, and you might have to pay. But make sure you know your strengths and limitations, and don't stress yourself about it. All right, everybody can't be the leader in everything, right? So hire people better than you.
I like that. No, I like that, man. Yeah. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you, you know, being on the show. Like I said, big fan of the product. I mean, I see all you guys. You guys are all very diverse, very, you know, charismatic individuals, you know, different in your own right, but you guys are all superstars to me. You know, we definitely get you back on in the future with everybody else in the family. In fact, I'll be remiss if I didn't mention this. I should have talked about it earlier, but shout out to Mama Pearson. I saw her on Good Day Sacramento. So y'all definitely making some waves there. So I apologize. I should have talked about that earlier, but yeah.
That's all right.
Mama
Pearson. Website.
She's on there repping. She has, I mean, she was hilarious too, by the way.
Oh my God,
she's adorable, man, but she was hilarious.
Mama Pearson, representing.
Hey, man, but I do want to just, like I said, thank you for the time, for being on the show, man. Definitely appreciate you.
Anytime. Appreciate what you're doing. Your podcast, you're opening doors. It's a podcast like no other. I like how you combine it. I like how you combine in Sacramento area talents and really showing the people from your hometown, you know, what is possible. And thank you for doing this, bro.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's love, man. Like always. Right. If you want to get a hold of Pearson's Premium for yourself, if you the sauce that you may have not tried yet, it's going to be your favorite sauce. It's pearsonspremium.com. Pearsonspremium.com is the website that you could order it from. Pearson's Premium Barbecue, Pearson's Premium and Barbecue BBQ is the IG handle. I'll have both of those in the podcast description, so you'll be able to go ahead and click on it from there. But I just want to thank all you guys for plugging in for another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan, guys. Continue having a blessed day. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to another Straight Talk with Strahan podcast. And if you haven't done so already, click the subscribe button and make sure to follow him on Instagram at Strahan, Strayhand. And we will catch you on the next episode.